I'm Peter Haddock from Content With Media, and welcome to another edition of our Supporting the Construction and Plant Sector series that we've been recording during lockdown. This series is supported by Ritchie Brothers, the used equipment specialist and auctioneers, and I thank them very much for that. So far in the series, we've talked to Andy Street, the Mayor of the West Midlands. We've talked to Alistair Reznor, who's actually the Civil Engineering Contractors Association CEO. And we've also tackled that big issue of plant theft, which has rocketed during this lockdown period. But now it's time to talk more about people and what people have been doing to help other people in the industry. So I've got a double header in this particular episode, and that involves Paul Skitt and Sophie Francis. And they're both from Flannery Plant Hire. And they're both talking about what they're doing to attract talent, to keep talent, to train talent, to go virtual, to do lots of training, to support safety, and to continue that family feel and make people feel that they're part of an organisation, even though they may be Zooming in or calling in from their homes. So enough from me. It's over initially to Paul Skitt, and then we'll hear from training manager Sophie Francis. Hope you enjoy listening. We're joined by Paul Skitt. Now, I last met Paul, and first actually met Paul, in February when I managed to get him on camera. And I will put what he had to say at that time when we was at the West Midlands Combined Authority Plant and Construction Skills event at the post below for this podcast. Now, Paul has actually been very busy, like we all have, trying to support the industry at this very difficult time. But what Paul's role has been is all about skills and it's all about careers. And actually, Paul has been working with the West Midlands Combined Authority and all his colleagues at Flannery to race online. Now we've got this lockdown period. Now, Paul, really, really exciting this, because you guys have got all of the information that you were going to put into a classroom and you're starting to put that out online. Tell me a little bit about what's happening and, you know, what we're trying to do to engage the future workforce during this situation.
We engage with colleges and schools to talk about career opportunities within the plant sector. We've been doing that in real life before COVID by them coming into Flannery's or us going into the schools or colleges. What we're trialling now is doing a virtual careers event. And what we do with that is we do that through platforms like Zoom or Microsoft Teams. And we have a cohort or a classroom of students, typically level two, level three construction students. And we talk about the career opportunities within the construction sector, but also specifically within plant. And we try to make that as interactive as we can. We're rolling that out across the country over the next sort of 4 to 6 weeks before the end of term. What we felt was that there was a number of careers days that had been postponed, obviously, given the circumstances. But we felt that students still needed to have that opportunity about careers within the construction sector, and specifically the plant sector, and we wanted to bring it online to them. So that's what we're doing in a nutshell.
That's really great. You know why that's great, Paul, is I think we've still got this huge disconnect between the equipment plant sector within the construction industry and the wider construction industry. People get how people build buildings and do big civils projects and bridges and things like that. But we've always been a little bit apart from the rest of the construction industry, haven't we, in the earthworks sector. And people have this impression that, you know, you're working with old diesel fuming plant pieces of equipment, it's freezing cold, you're outside with a shovel, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And we're just not like that anymore, like we saw at the careers event, aren't we? So how are you going to be giving that information to people? And why is it actually critical that that comes across for you? Because I know when people do, and I've seen at that event that we're at, when people do see what's going on, they're really excited about the plant sector, aren't they? But we're going to lose these people if we're not careful, aren't we?
Yeah, well, very much so. I think I just need to give the example. Earlier March, before the lockdown happened, we had a college and a university technical college in at Flannery Plant Hire, and we had a day with them talking about plant opportunities, career opportunities, and about the larger projects we're working on, and they had to go on a simulator. But why that's really important is we had 15 people in that event. Four of those people have applied for our apprenticeship. You know, so that is hugely important to us that we're doing this to give those people, students, an opportunity to learn more about careers in plant and about the fairness and inclusion in terms of our recruitment. So we want to recruit more women. We had one of our women apprentices at that day to talk about her experiences and how she's developed her career. And really, we're just taking that basic ethos and vehicle, but doing it online. So we're doing it slightly shorter. We're doing 45 minutes to an hour, but we're trying to get across that it is a clean industry. I mean, the average age of our machines are 1.8 years. The national average is about 3.6, 3.8. But that means that our machines are the highest capable technology, low emissions, GPS tracking on it. And we want to get that across to students because they don't, as you say, they think about it being a dirty job. And actually it isn't. It's a very rewarding, highly skilled and highly technical job now. And that's what we're trying to get across to students. And they're really excited about it. So we're just going to continue these virtual events in the coming weeks and months because we think it's hugely important that they continue to have that opportunity.
And I think, you know, from my perspective, I think what I'm seeing as well from the plant sector is actually we're getting a lot more investment in what I would call career-based opportunities, not just coming into the industry for one specific job. And I'm quite interested to find out more. And I know we touched upon it in February, but we just didn't have time to talk about it in detail. But we've got a bit of time now, haven't we,
Paul? Yeah.
About the apprenticeship trailblazer. Now, I got quite excited about the word trailblazer when I last saw you, and I'm still excited about it because what I want to understand is how is this trailblazer approach one going to be funded, because obviously, you know, any apprenticeships got to be funded, but also how are they people that come onto this apprenticeship, how are they going to get a career and what does it look like and feel like and what kind of support are they going to get from both yourselves and from other organizations that will be involved in it?
Yeah, I mean, the trailblazer is hugely important to the industry. The context to this is there was an original apprenticeship framework, but it was very low funding. There wasn't a big take up of it, but that didn't link to the skills and employment shortage within the plant industry. So probably 2 or 3 years ago now, Patrick Flannery and myself got a group of employers together to come up with a new apprenticeship trailblazer for construction plant operative. We're just about to get final approval from the Institute for Apprenticeships on that, and with a funding value of £14,000, which is a very high for a level two. So that will really be a big boost to the industry, where education providers will have the right amount of funding to deliver this apprenticeship. And we're going to be launching it towards the end of the summer, and we're going to be recruiting all our new apprentices to go onto that trailblazer, and they're going to have a 15-month apprenticeship graduate experience with us, really. They're going to learn all about the company, all about the plant industry. They're going to become specialists in four main categories of plant machinery. And after that, those apprentices will be like our key graduates. They're going to be our elite workforce. That's how we want them to be. But that's one of the things when we're doing these events, we're talking to those students that are currently in education about how they get into this apprenticeship and how we'll then support them to then develop a career within the plant industry. That might end up being a foreman on a site, or they might end up being a plant supervisor or a director in the company. We want them to have that opportunity to start as an apprenticeship trailblazer. So we're extremely excited about it.
Now, you've said four bits to it, as it were. Tell me about them. What are they? Because, you know, people need to understand that, don't they?
So the four main categories.
Yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a ride-on roller, there's a dumper or an ADT or dump truck, and we've got a dump truck in there because of big infrastructure projects like HS2. We have a telescopic handler and then a 360 excavator. And the 360 excavator will be the machine that's been delivered at the end of the apprenticeship as the golden ticket and reward, as being the hardest to drive and the most lucrative from a career point of view once you become highly experienced on that. They're the four categories.
Well, that's great, because, and I know, you know, that's really important, the excavator bit, really, because like you say, you want to build people up from the bottom all the way up, because you want to be able to test their skills, but also develop their skills. Because quite frankly, when you get up to that excavator now, and we're talking about Flannery here, like you said, latest technology on machines, new machines, but you guys are going absolutely all out with machine control. Now, that makes the operator of that machine hugely important, because they've got to have the ultimate skill set and develop the ultimate skill set to use not only the capabilities of an excavator, but also the capabilities of an excavator with machine control technologies, with other devices. So you've got to have a focused individual, haven't you, there? And that takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. So I understand why that build-up's important. But unless you fill those slots particularly for things like HS2, which, you know, is one of my favourite projects to talk about, then, you know, the people that you've already got in your business, some of them are going to be retiring, aren't they, before that project is actually finished?
Yeah, and that's a big element that I think Highways England and HS2 have done some data analysis to say that there's going to be this peak of work going on between 2022 and 2027. But within that period, there's going to be a lot of current plant operators potentially retiring given their age. So we've got to bring in this new talent of plant operators and plant mechanics to fill that void. While we do that, we want the existing current operators to transfer their knowledge and experience to those apprentices. So there'll be a mentoring scheme within the apprenticeship program to make sure the apprentices coming into the workforce will be mentored by existing operators. And I think that's hugely important.
Yeah, it is. Because guess what? You know, the best operators out there, they're the ones that have spent hours and hours on machines. They've learned from other people, you know, particularly even come through the family, you know. And obviously, Flannery is a family business, and we've seen the importance of that. But Paul, you're not just doing stuff around skills and apprenticeship and trailblazers and stuff like that as well. You're using this time to upskill some of your existing workforce, aren't you, as well? So tell me a little about some of the stuff that you're doing there, because this is important, because when we get back on site, we're going to have to work really hard, really quickly to catch up, aren't we? So what are we doing?
There's some good examples. There's some technical training, like the loader operating plant onto loaders. So there's technical training like that. There's the PPI, people plant interface, which is very much about health and safety and behavioural training to make sure that operators operate in the safest way they can, particularly in quite difficult environments like on the motorways and the big infrastructure projects. There's an array of behavioural and technical training that we're upskilling our current operators to make sure that they're doing all they can to make sure that when we come out of this, that we're in a really good position to deliver projects. GPS training, online GPS training for current operators, because one of the things with current operators is that they're incredibly knowledgeable, incredibly experienced, but they still sometimes need help with some of the new technologies.
Well, yeah, I get that, because I've heard from operators that even though you're used to machine control, you know, you might be looking at one of the machine control operated systems like a Geosystems, for example, but you also might just know how to work the Trimble system. If you've got to use the Leica system instead, then there are some things like that that you won't actually necessarily understand how it works because you're used to the other system, isn't it? It's simple things, isn't it?
That's one of the key things that we're going to have at our new training centre, which is near the Belfry in Birmingham, so near one of the compounds for HS2. So there's going to be a separate complementary GPS training function at that site. So there's going to be upskilling, getting people site ready for big projects. The apprenticeships will be run out of there. There'll also be specific GPS training with a number of GPS providers like Trimble, like Leica, you know, so operators get the chance to then learn and test their skills on the new equipment that's coming in.
So a bit of a thanks to Paul there for all of that information. But Paul's got a colleague called Sophie. And Sophie's actually somebody that's been working on a lot of the training in Flannery, because guess what her title is? She's training manager. It kind of gives it away, really. Sophie has joined me on the call for a podcast today because there's a number of things that she's been sort of trailblazing herself with the team. And that relates to World Health and Safety at Work, which is today when we're recording this. Probably would have passed by the time this podcast goes out. Basically, a lot of work that Sophie and her team have been doing on the tutorials online, on some very interesting videos, which I have been able to see. And what I'll do is I'll post some links of those on my LinkedIn channel and find out from Sophie where people can find them. So, Sophie, tell me a little bit about what you've been doing as training manager. I'm assuming it's around all people.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for that. So, obviously, with today being World Health and Safety at Work Day, it's been important to us to really, again, just raise the profile and the importance of maintaining safety during this difficult situation. We've, over the last couple of months, we've actually been developing a suite of training videos or training tutorials that will all be accessible to our operators through their mobile devices and by clicking a QR link, actually, in the cabs of the machines. So all of our machines, we're currently putting stickers in them, which basically means that the operator will be able to scan the code and access our YouTube channel, and on there will be a full range of different training videos. So this week it's quite exciting for us because we're finally releasing our first batch. Today we've released our first one, pre-use checks for all operators using 360s. Our lead trainer Mark Harvey is actually the star of the videos. He's got a wealth of plant experience and all of these videos are around about 5 to 7 minutes long. We cover all the bases in terms of health, safety, and even the behaviours as well that we expect our operators to uphold. So this week, like I say, pre-use checks today, followed by quick hitch. So safe use of the Millimate quick hitch system. We'll be going into all the varieties of height and slew restrictors as well. As most people be aware, you know, a lot of our work is taking place in confined spaces on the side of motorways, etc. So obviously the importance and the safe use of height and slew restrictors is absolutely paramount. And also people plant interface as well, we're going to release this week. All of these videos, they actually complement the suite of training that we deliver to our operators throughout their experience and throughout their term with Flannery's. So we already do all of this training, familiarization training on site, but what this is a little bit of extra reinforcement for them and easy access for them and when they are maybe out in the field and they just need that extra bit of support.
I think what's important about this, really, and I think it's credit to you that you're putting it together, because for me, right, I'm an operator. There's different machines that I operate all the time. I might have been hired in on a job and using a Flannery piece of kit, for example, and I don't know, haven't come across the quick hitch from Miller before. And so I don't actually know how to use it effectively. So spending a bit of time like scanning it so I know I get to the right videos for starters, not having to trawl around YouTube with its millions or billions of videos, is a really, really good thing to be able to do. I've talked about this quite a lot because obviously different people that are coming into the industry might have worked on a 360, but not necessarily a Flannery setup 360. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With all of your height and slew restrictions and the checks that are associated with it. And I think that's really important, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, obviously these videos, you know, we're going to try and be as specific as we can. So if we get any new attachments or any new safety features, we'll be able to create videos for that as well. But as importantly is we'll always maintain our presence on the sites. We have 8 trainers nationwide, and those trainers actually, they go out every day familiarizing operators on the machines and particularly the various safety features on the machines. Particularly, I go back to the height and slew on the 360. A lot of the operators, they may move from using a GKD system over to using a X-Watch system. So again, the two systems are different. There's different setups on those machines. And it's really important that they actually know how to use them. Because again, quite often, you know, this all comes down to behaviours again. If an operator doesn't know how to use it, you run the risk that they just won't bother.
Absolutely.
And that's the same with anybody. You know, we all do the same. If we don't understand something, unfortunately, sometimes rather than asking for help, you can just go back into your comfort zone. So we're very proactive. Our trainers are proactive to make sure that any bit of equipment, we make sure the trainers go out and they carry out that familiarization.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for me, I have talked about this quite a lot recently, because productivity is what we're going to have to up as we get out of this terrible period we're in at the moment. But realistically, if people don't know the bits on the machines, and I'm glad to say that you're going to expand this out, they don't know that it's got an eco mode, or they don't know that it's got this, you know, system, the height and slew system, and how to work it, then they're actually, well, yes, safety first, we obviously get that, but they're not going to then necessarily be able to be as efficient, you know. And, you know, you've got some really, really skilled operators at Flannery. And so, you know, we want them to be working at their optimum performance levels, which they're capable of, more than capable of.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why, you know, from Flannery's point of view, there's huge investment in training. Obviously, safety is one of our core values. And, you know, safety really leads the way in everything we do. So, what we're also doing now, because I mean, we're so aware of the fact that we've got operators on site during this situation that potentially are distracted. You know, they may have issues at home. People are worried about job security. There's lots of distraction out there. And we've made sure that through this process, we've actually kept our trainers active.
Yeah.
They're still going on sites now. We've put a lot of measures in place to make sure they can social distance and they can follow social distancing guidelines.
Yeah.
You know, all of our trainers actually have iPads to deliver the training we do. And what they can do is make sure that they've got that social distance, still have the presence, still be able to support our operators.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite easy that at the moment, you know, well, it's not easy, but my massive concern is that sometimes safety may take a back step because we're obviously so conscious of the health risks that are out there. But what we can't do is put safety on the back seat at the moment, because obviously we're going to be increasing that risk. So we're quite proud of the fact that we've kept that still as our priority and kept it as a core value through this process. And what we're also doing is delivering remote toolbox talks. So with the remote toolbox talks, we basically have a text alert system with all of our operators, and on a weekly basis we're sending out various toolbox talks. Again, Mark Harvey, one of our trainers, is generally delivering those, and again the feedback from the operators has been great. They're enjoying being kept informed and having that contact.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, Sophie, I really want, I'm sorry to put you on the spot with this one, but actually, you know, I really want you to answer a few questions about welfare, if that's okay with you, because, you know, I really do think right now the training stuff you're putting into place, the support for people and the contact is really important. But like you say, it's been an issue, health and safety and well-being and stress and things like that, that people have been under for a long, long time now. People have been more aware of it. But obviously in this difficult time we're in, you know, I think well-being is got to be a focus. But I just wanted to, like I say, put you on the spot a bit and say, is there anything you are doing around that? What kind of measures are you putting in place to support people that might not have their focus on their job at the moment because of other different things and the worries and stress of the general world we're in at the moment, not just what they would have had before?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, mental health and well-being, I mean, it's been on the agenda now for a good couple of years. We're obviously members of Mates in Mind or supporters of Mates in Mind, and we've actually trained up over the last couple of years a number of mental health first aiders through the business. We also deliver mental health awareness workshops, which is available to all of our operators. And I think in a way that now that the situation we're in, if anything, it's going to help the industry and really the nation kind of have a little bit more of an insight into what mental health is and what well-being is, and maybe a little bit more understanding for people. I think because a lot of people will be experiencing some of this that they've never had that experience before.
Yeah.
So there might be a little bit more understanding towards others. And I think if anything, this situation is going to raise the profile even more. So what we've been doing in-house, we've been offering resilience and well-being training workshops to our workforce. Mm-hmm. So that's actually delivered by a provider that are accredited to Mental Health First Aid England. And again, they're just online 2-hour workshops or webinars. And it's fantastic. It's just given like a platform for some open dialogue for, you know, individuals in the business to understand that, you know, we do want to support them. Further to that, we've got an occupational health specialist team as well. So we've got staff nurses through the business. And what we're doing is we're offering telephone triage. So if there's any operators on site that just want to maybe make a call, they've got any concerns, anything like that, then it's literally they could just pick up the phone. They've all got the contact numbers. Be able to speak to our nurses through the business. And again, the nurses are mental health first aid trained as well. Further to that, I mean, some of the great stuff we're doing is we're doing lots of virtual socials in the company.
What about a virtual social? You mean you're going down the pub virtually with everybody then? Is that what you're saying? Or
Well, I mean, I wish it was like that, but unfortunately, not quite. We've had to make do with that situation. Yeah, so I've been heading up virtual social quizzes. So each week we've been doing a Flannery quiz. And what's great about it is we're actually raising money for the Lighthouse Club.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, the Lighthouse Club, you know, there's lots of reports coming out that they're actually seeing more individuals needing their support than ever before.
Of course.
So now's a really important time that we support it. We've always supported them, but now we just want to engage that bit more. And I mean, these quizzes, it brings us all together. We've had operators join us, a lot of people in our offices. I think our biggest output was about 40 of us on a call one night, which was absolutely fantastic. I have had to up my Zoom subscription just to allow people on and be able, and usually it's not just 2 hours, we're usually online for about 4 hours.
So wow.
We do have a good laugh, absolutely. And what's lovely about it as well is, you know, we have the Flannerys join us. So
this
is a family business.
Yeah.
We've had Paul Flannery join us, Mary Flannery and Paddy Flannery Sr.
Yeah.
So again, it just has that real sort of sense of bringing the team together.
There's a few things I want to really say to sort of wrap this up. I think one, we've all got to think very, very hard about everybody else right now and when they come back, because, you know, the traumas of what we're going through. I have my family in lockdown at the moment. My parents have been in lockdown for many weeks now. Everybody's going through this sort of stress. The fact that you and your team are, you know, really pushing hard out there and you're jumping on calls like this when I know you're super busy is testament to getting that message out there. I just want to say to people, stay safe, make sure you are talking to people. I think I love the phrases that you've been using, Sophie, around, you know, these skills, these nurses, these trained people. We are treating this at Flannery, by the sounds of things, like it is a proper injury, which I think is a real good approach, because, you know, when you break your leg, people can see that. When you're broken in the head, because you've got mental health issues, that's not difficult to see, but it is as important, if not more important, to actually heal that and treat that as well. So look, keep on the good work. Looking forward to seeing Magic Mark on his lovely tours of how to use the quick hitch. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people will probably not know how that works necessarily. You know, keep safe, Sophie, out there. Keep doing what you're doing. Come back and let's find out how your training has gone. I mean, I believe you've done your first online training session as well that Paul mentioned. Have you got a minute just to say how that went?
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually, as Paul said earlier, we're hosting some virtual bite-sized careers events, actually joined by the CITB as well, which is fantastic that we've got their support. The first one we've done was actually with the West London College. It was brilliant. I mean, we had it attended by 15 students from West London College, all of them extremely engaged from the moment they came on through to the very end. And it was just a real opportunity for us to very much talk about what careers are available in plant operation, but also the wider sector as well. So CITB were able to shed some light on the amount of skills and the amount of construction opportunities that needs to be over the next 4 years. There was some statistics we had that, because obviously this group were from the Greater London area, there's actually 17,800 jobs needed in the next 4 years in construction. So that was a really good message to get across to those young people, so they could really see that construction is an opportunity. And I think as well, to be honest, Peter, you know, we're abundantly aware right now that, you know, you've got individuals out there that, you know, they don't really know what their future careers are. I know they get careers advice in school, often construction's lacking in that, but right now they're not getting any of that, and there's probably a lot of uncertainty and a feeling of going into the unknown for them. So I think it was a really good session, and we're going to be rolling that out across the country with other colleges, and it was so successful we want to get into people's living rooms with it, to be honest. So we're going to start also hosting them, putting them on Eventbrite. You know, maybe parents might see it for their children that are in school or college, and they might be able to jump on the line as well, you know. So I think really good potential there to be able to engage the future generation.
Right, okay. And you're going to let me know when those things are happening, please, Sophie, because, you know, I'd like to share that out to people and the wider community, so that, you know, we can get the best possible people into this industry. That's what I think we need. We're obviously going to have issues with people retiring as well, because basically, you know, we've got a problem with the aging workforce. So we do need people that come into this industry, and we need the very best people as well. Look, let's make sure we get this out there. Let's really, really help to boost and support the industry at this particular time. That's what this podcast series is all about. Sophie, it has been wonderful to talk to you today. You go off and do some of your training stuff, and no doubt we will speak again in the future. Many thanks.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you very much.
So it's a big thank you from me to both Paul and Sophie. It's great to hear a combination of people in a business like Flannery that are doing all they can to support their people and to support the industry. And we can learn a lot from their approach. And also, we can take heart in the fact that they're still trying to bring in talent, even in these difficult times, which is fantastic. We've got to remember, everyone, people are what make our business. We've got to attract them into our industry. We've got to bring them into our industry in the right way. We've also got to invest and deliver careers for them so that they stay in our industry. There's no point in bringing people in if we can't keep them. And we certainly need those skills for all the different types of projects that we are supposed to be delivering. It's people that help us deliver productivity. The equipment that helps them deliver it has to be run and operated by people. We have to have telemetry systems that are giving data to people. We have to have site managers that can interpret all of that information. And it's people that are absolutely at the heart of our business. And what I really, really am impressed with is the way in which Flannery is taking this on board, and other people I've been talking to recently during this period. So it's also a massive thank you to Ritchie Brothers, the used equipment specialists and auctioneers, rbauction.co.uk if you want to get in touch with them, because they've gone out and really supported me to get these messages across during this difficult time. So I thank everybody from their team. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Please stay tuned for more of my podcasts moving forward. We've got some fantastic guests that have already appeared on the podcast, and there's many more to come. So please stay safe out there. Look after yourself. Keep listening, and please share if you enjoy this podcast. Many thanks.